awesome times. Well, as we begin 2020, we are looking at resolutions, but not your typical New Year's resolutions. We're looking at resolutions that will help us to achieve our goals as well as reach our God-given potential, not only the next 5 years, but beyond that as well. And as we've done that, we've talked about how the choices we make determine the paths that we take. In week one, we talked about how to make God our focus, how to choose our friends wisely, and how to live with tomorrow in mind. Now, today we're going to focus on how to keep kind of chipping away at things over time in order to make progress. Because the reality is that sometimes we give up on the future because we don't see immediate results. Sometimes we have these goals in mind, these things we want to pursue, and all of a sudden we just kind of lose track because the results at first aren't what we hoped they would be. Now, one of the areas that I've done that over the years in is exercise. I get motivated, I start exercising, and it seems like I'm going good for a couple months, and then all of a sudden I'll miss a day, maybe I'll miss 2 days or something, and then it's between a year and 5 years till I start again. I haven't worried about it too much so far because the Lord has blessed me through my family genetics with pretty good metabolism. I've always had this weight where I could pretty much stay there and it didn't matter what I ate or how little I worked out. I could just always kind of be at this particular spot. In high school, it was 145 pounds. And I couldn't, I mean, no matter how hard I tried, I really couldn't gain anything. I worked out, I at least once a week, I would eat an entire large pizza all by myself. And I just couldn't put on pounds. As life went on, later it was 160. A few years ago, it was 170, which I guess is considered kind of the top end of where they would want people to be for my particular height. But this year, things changed. And I remember stepping on the scale and the number just kept getting higher and higher and it hit 189.9. I was like, man, what happened? You know, and I was determined though to not let it get that 0.1 higher. And I started plugging away and I went, started going to the gym in November, and in 6 weeks I had lost 7 pounds, which is decent. Yeah, it was exciting. Further away from that 190. But it was frustrating. I got in the groove. You know, I was doing really well. Beth and I were working out together at least 3 times a week and just really, really hit some of our goals. And then I threw out my back, which set me back again. But I am more determined than ever to be able to maintain that progress once I'm cleared to be able to get back in the gym. And most likely, each of us have something like that. Something that is hard for us to focus on or to kind of maintain our intensity on over time. Maybe you're also trying to overcome something right now. Maybe it's something physically. Maybe it's something emotionally. It could be you're trying to focus on grades and trying to keep those up. It could be something like me, like exercise or maintaining, maybe it's maintaining friendships or relationships. Maybe it's making progress financially to get out of overwhelming debt, or you're trying to gain some traction and save for retirement. It could be that some of us are giving into addictive behaviors or substances and just can't seem to get long-term freedom in the things that we're dealing with. Maybe it's that we're trying to grow closer to God. And sometimes that can be like I've experienced in exercising, where you're in your devotionals and you miss a few days and all of a sudden you get off track, or you've determined you're going to go to this growth group, but maybe you miss once or twice and so you just don't go back. It can be easy to get thrown off over time. Well, as with every week, we have good news, and that's that God wants us to help gain traction that will allow us to become who we were created to be and to achieve God's will for our lives. So today we'll get some wisdom from the Word on this particular topic. And I want to start with these words out of the book of Proverbs. They're found in Proverbs 21:5, and it says this: steady plodding brings prosperity, but hasty speculation brings poverty. What we see here is that it's not the quick fix. It's not the immediate gratification type of solution that's best for us to pursue. But rather, that steady plodding or plugging away over time deliberately is what leads to prosperity. In other words, small steps over time lead to big gains. Now, in physics, I was looking at all these different formulas, and one way that I saw to show momentum was force times time. Force times time. And if we want to make progress in any area of our life, we've got to apply pressure over time in order to generate momentum. We've got to apply pressure over time in order to generate momentum. And sometimes it's just a little bit of tension that we've got to add. Other times we really have to shake up our relationships or our work situation or our spending habits in order to move forward. Well, today we want to focus on three areas that if we can move forward in these things, whether it's kind of at a slow snail's pace or really quickly, that it will help us to gain some momentum towards who we want to be and what we want to achieve in the next 5 years. The first area we want to talk about is kind of this steady plodding, this moving forward in our posture towards God. Our posture towards God. Now, when things are good, it can be easy to just kind of rely on our own strength or to have confidence that we can make it happen. Whatever it is, whatever fits that for us. But when life is rough, it can be easy to question God. And sometimes questions rise to the surface. Questions like, where is God in all of this? Does he see my pain? It's been so long that I've been waiting on God. Does he even care? Well, I want to look for a bit as we explore questions like this in the Old Testament, the book of Psalms. And we're going to look at chapter 77 for a while today. And if you'd like to follow along, we're going to have most of the verses on the screen here. You can also follow along if you have a good app on your phone, or we have some Bibles in the pews. We're going to be on page 582 in those. Now here, there's a guy named Asaph. And Asaph is wrestling with some of these very same questions. Now, we don't know exactly what caused his distress, but we know that it's real and it's pretty intense for him. Now, according to Bible scholars, Asaph is apparently a part of one of the most famous families of musicians and singers in Jewish history. And there are at least 12 psalms that are attributed to them. Let's start in verse 1 there of Psalm 77. There it says, I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me, and when I was in distress, I sought the Lord. He says, at night I stretched out my untiring hands, and I would not be comforted. Here we see him in distress. We see him crying out to God for help, begging God to hear him. It says that he's stretching out his hands, determined to not let them down until God moves, and refusing to be comforted in the meantime. I don't know about you, as I was reading this, I kind of shuddered a bit just to think at the many times in my pain or my frustration that I've refused to be comforted, even by God. Choosing instead to just kind of wallow and feel the depth of my pain rather than get the help I need. I'm guessing I'm not alone in that approach. Well, continuing in verse 3 here, he says, I remembered you, God, and I groaned, I meditated, and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing, and I was too troubled to speak. Now, as he moves from this crying to thinking about God, things actually seem to get worse. He becomes troubled in his spirit to the point where he can't sleep, and his mind just races on, and then he begins to question God. He says, as I meditated in my spirit, I asked these questions. Will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanquished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? I'm guessing that whatever situation we find ourselves in, and if we're frustrated and wondering where God is at in all of it, maybe some of us have asked similar questions. Well, Asaph's posture, if we look at his posture towards God at the beginning here, it's obviously unhealthy. And in that, it led him to question God's goodness and God's character and God's love. But thankfully, he's able to make a shift in his posture. Let's continue in verse 10. It says, "Then I thought, to this I will appeal, the years when the Most High stretched out his right hand. And I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds." His attitude begins to change as he remembers the faithfulness of God over time. As he thinks about what God has done for him, what God has done for his family, what God has done for their ancestors over time. And if we think back, for us personally, I'm sure that God could bring very quickly to mind ways that he has blessed us or blessed members of our family over the years. And thinking back on some of these things is a great way to remind ourselves that God is faithful even when we don't feel his guidance in a particular moment. Next, he continues on this path and he affirms the character of God. He says, "Your ways, God, are holy. What God is as great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples." And then he goes on to make a big list of ways that he has seen God move in the past, or that he's heard testimonies about God moving. And Asaph is a great example of us seeking God, maybe despite not feeling it. Of continuing this idea of steady plodding until our posture towards God changes. It reminds us again, as we've talked, that the effort we put in over time determines our momentum. It's true of our relationship with God, and it's true of other areas in our life as well. That steady plodding brings prosperity. I want to challenge each of us this week. Wherever we're at with God today, I want to challenge each of us to take one step closer to God. If we're not on speaking terms, maybe this is the week to start a conversation with God. If we're angry with him, I want to encourage us to share our feelings with him and allow him to reveal what's going on in our hearts and maybe start to heal whatever's broken inside. If we're lukewarm in our faith, maybe we need to take a step this week towards pursuing Jesus in community so that we can get the encouragement and accountability that we need from one of these groups that were just up front here earlier. If you're growing in your walk with God, maybe the next step that you need to take to gain traction is to help others gain traction in their journey with God, to take what you've been learning, what God's been showing you, and help others move forward as well. If you're already doing that, then praise God, that's great. The Bible encourages us, though, in that, not to get comfortable, not to get complacent, because we don't want to find ourselves back at those earlier steps. Well, here's the deal. This is the sum of this part of the message, and really a lot of the messages that we give or focus on, and it's true for every single area of our lives, and it's this. If you want to transform your life, start with your walk with God. If you want to transform your life, start with your walk with God. That's for every area, folks. It's for your finances, it's for your school, it's for your relationships, every single thing. There is no other relationship we can invest in, no other goal we can set that will carry us the next day or the next year, the next decade and beyond, like a strong walk with God will carry us. And as we reflect on our posture towards and relationship with God, there's a couple other things we want to talk about briefly that will help us here as we think about 5-year and beyond goals. The next one is the position we find ourselves in. The position that we find ourselves in. Pastor Eric and I were discussing this a bit this week and just talking about how easy it can be for us, for people in general, to get dissatisfied where they're at for any number of reasons and then make a hasty decision to pursue something else when the best path forward, the one that God wants, may be sticking it out and persevering. Now we see a great example of this in the Bible in a guy named Elisha. And we find his story in 1 and 2 Kings. We're going to glance at the beginning of it in 1 Kings 19. There it says, Elijah found Elisha, and he was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. And Elisha then left his ox and ran after Elijah and said, let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, and then I will come with you. Now Elijah, if you haven't heard of him, is probably the most famous prophet in Israel and maybe the most famous in history. And he approaches this seemingly random farmer named Elisha, and he threw his cloak on him. Now in those days, this was very significant, because in those days, putting your cloak on somebody named them as your successor. And so what Elijah was saying is, this is the person that I choose to take over after me as the head prophet of Israel. Well, Elijah, he's elated. He tells his parents goodbye. He goes and he actually burns all of his farm equipment. So I'm guessing maybe so that he has nothing to come back to. And then he leaves everything in the hope of becoming the successor of Elijah. And Elisha follows Elijah for what I've read was around 18 years before this succession plan was completed. In what became their final moments together, Elisha asks Elijah for a double portion of his spirit. He wants to be filled even more so with the Spirit of God than Elijah was. And so Elijah responds to him. He says, if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, it will not. And in that moment, he's going to be thinking, well, when will that be? You know, is it going to be at your deathbed years ago? Or are you going to go somewhere without me? But then it says, as they were walking along, like in those very moments, says, and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. But I was thinking about this, and I hadn't thought about the story from this angle before, but and that was probably God's timing regardless, but it must have been God's will for Elisha to be there when he goes, right? Because he utters this statement, and then moments later it actually happens. And Elisha must have been faithful, because just moments after that request is when this happens. I mean, what a mind-blowing and faith-building experience that had to be. And we get a glimpse into his 18-year journey with Elijah in 2 Kings. The king at this point, Elijah is gone and he's looking for a prophet. The army is in the midst of this situation. They don't have water to feed their troops and things are not going well. And the king Jehoshaphat asks, is there no prophet of the Lord here through whom we may inquire of the Lord? And somebody steps forward and they say, Elisha, the son of Shaphat, is here, and he used to pour water on the hands of Elijah. Now, having started his journey towards greatness, I mean, you can imagine the thoughts that are going through Elisha's head as this cloak is laid on him, and he's labeled the successor to the most amazing prophet in history, and thinking about what all that will hold. And for the next 18 years, he pours water on his hands. And that's what he's known for after 18 years. But apparently his faithfulness and the position he found himself in led God to assure that he will inherit the blessings that he sought as he moved on to his next assignment. And it got me thinking, how could we do the same? How could we do the same in terms of this steady plodding, being faithful over time? Whether we're in school and we're working out our GPA and maybe getting tired of that grind as we try and get towards the college of our choice. Maybe it's in the job that we're in, hoping to gain some promotion or recognition over time. Or maybe it's in a season where we're the primary influencer at home as we take care of our children or maybe our grandchildren. Whatever situation we find ourselves in, came up with a couple questions that I'd love for us to consider today. And the first is, how can I honor God in my current role? How can I honor God in my current role? And if I tough it out and put in the hard work, what could my future look like as a result? If I tough it out and I put in the hard work, what could my future look like as a result? And how could I grow now where I am at to prepare for how God may want to use me down the road? How could I grow now where I'm at to prepare for what God may have in store for me down the road? Some deep questions with some big impact on our future, 5 years and beyond. Now, this isn't to say, what I'm not saying here is that change intention isn't good. In fact, those may be the things that God uses to propel us towards the future that He has for us. However, the reality is, and you probably heard this saying, is that the grass isn't always greener. And sometimes I think we forget to live in the moment, to be faithful while we dream about change. So I want to encourage us today to stay faithful to where God has us planted in whatever moment we find ourselves in. Time and time again in my own life and in the Bible, through stories like Elisha's and in many of your own lives and throughout history, people have proved that faithfulness and good attitudes and steady plodding forward in a position we find ourselves in are the keys to receiving blessings over time. Which leads us to our last area for today, and this, it's that we want to move forward with patience as we await the payoff. And this one really is tied to the first two. And it's something to focus on as we try to take steps in any area of our lives. Whether it's trying to maintain focus as we move towards graduating high school or college, or saving for that first car or major purchase, or knocking out overwhelming debt or building towards retirement. It could be trying to be patient as we work that job and that isn't something that we're hoping to do for the rest of our life, as we kind of search for that thing that would fulfill us more. Or maybe waiting for that somebody special to come into our lives. It could even be waiting on God for physical healing, or maybe spiritual healing for somebody that we care about, or maybe it's to get into shape moving forward. Whatever it is, if the choices we make determine the path that we take, then we want to move forward patiently, trusting God for the outcome. And He gives us some pretty cool promises in His Word that we want to close with here today that talk about this. And the first one we'll look at is in Galatians 6, 7 through 10. And here He says, "You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy only their sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit." And He says, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. Let's not get tired of doing what is good, for at just the right time, we will reap a blessing if we don't give up, a harvest of blessings. Things will go well for us if we look to please God. We see it promised here again that steady plodding brings prosperity. If we don't give up, if we keep doing the right thing, no matter how we feel at the moment, even if everything inside of us is screaming that we're justified to lash out, if we don't give up, God promises that He will send blessings, not just a blessing, but a harvest of them at just the right time. And speaking of blessings coming from God by being faithful over the years, the prophet Isaiah said this in that context. He said that all of this, all of these blessings, all of this also comes from the Lord Almighty, whose plan is wonderful and whose wisdom is magnificent. God wants us to be reminded today that His plan for each of us is wonderful, and that His wisdom on how we get there, it may be different than our own, but it's magnificent. Please be encouraged today that God wants to lead and guide us on a path of blessing over time. So let's commit here today as we think about today, as we think about the next 5 years, as we commit to the next 10 years and beyond, to steady plodding and to do whatever is in our power to stay faithful to God along the way. Let's pray. Well, God, we thank you for your words to us preserved in the Bible. Words that teach us how to make these shifts that are so necessary to becoming who you want us to be and to reaching these goals for our life that line up with your vision for us. So God, in these moments, we just come to you and ask that even as we gather here and we seek your face and we sing songs of praise and we reflect, that God, you would even now in these moments just shift our posture towards you to something that is healthier than when we walked through these doors. God, maybe we're fighting through questioning or, you know, just wondering where you're at. Lord, in these moments, remind us of your faithfulness and your goodness and your grace. And help us to trust that that will be replicated in the future. God, whatever position we find ourselves in here today, help us to just be able to move forward step by step, hour by hour, day by day, faithful to you in all of it, trusting that we're going to make an impact bigger than we can understand over time. And Lord, as we await for whatever sort of goal we're working towards, God, just help us to have patience, trusting that we can get there, even though some days it doesn't look like it, but trusting that at just the right time, we'll reap those blessings if we don't give up, if we continue to look to you and apply your wisdom. So God, would you just guide us in all these things for your glory? In Jesus' name, amen.